You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 157.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. Well, that was a little Celtic ditty by Kevin MacLeod. I can't really pronounce the full name of the song, but I do have a link to it in my show notes, and I'll play the full song at the end of my podcast. I hope you enjoy that. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Well, today my main topic is my interview with Vice President of Product Management at Blackboard, Jim Chalix. I heard Jim at the recent Blackboard World this July in New Orleans. Jim is a very excellent speaker. He knows the topic, of course, inside and out. I listened with interest when Jim gave a talk on the roadmap for Blackboard Learn. So that's the main topic today. We're going to talk about the different flavors of Blackboard Learn and how they will evolve over the next couple of years. We discuss the differences between the different experiences, both the course view, whether it's Ultra or Original. Original is the typical Blackboard 9.1 we've learned to love over the years. We'll talk about how it differs with the different deployments, mobility, responsive web design or Ultra versus the new native apps. And we learn about a lot of the very clever new features that are coming very soon. Workflow improvements, inline grading updates, responsive design optimizations, embedded analytics, which is in the future, but that is very interesting. Integrated audio and video. You'll no longer have to use YouTube or another video service. You can embed your audio and video recordings directly in Blackboard assets, like in a discussion board or content areas. They're bringing out cloud storage integration. So whether it's Google Drive, Box, or Dropbox, you can store your content in those services directly within Blackboard. Attendance tracking. I know our faculty would love to have that, as will many others. And I asked how they will roll out more of the portal functions that we are used to in Community System in the original experience and how that will look in Ultra. I also have links to a Blackboard roadmap slide deck on my show notes and another link to a very interesting article by Michael Feldstein in his Blackboard World Report, Blackboard May Be Turning Around. So I have high hopes for Blackboard, and in the interest of full disclosure, the University of the Sciences has just signed up for another three-year contract with Blackboard. So without further ado, here's my interview with Jim Chalix. Jim, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me and my audience. I'm very excited to hear what you have to say about the future of Blackboard Learn.
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity. Really excited about it.
I've already told my listeners that I heard you at the recent Blackboard World in New Orleans, and as usual, you're very concise and excellent spokesperson for Blackboard Learn especially. So I was really anxious to share what you had to say about the future of Blackboard. Before we get into those weeds, why don't you give my audience just a little bit of background about yourself and how you got to be connected to Blackboard?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I've been in and around the edtech industry for a number of years. I actually came to a Blackboard. Previously, I was working for another LMS provider called Angel Learning. So Angel was acquired by Blackboard a number of years ago, and I decided to continue on and take on some additional product roles in Blackboard. And so most recently, I've been working as the head of our Learn product management team.
Okay, I didn't know that you came from Angel. In fact, when I arrived here at University of the Sciences about 8 or 9 years ago, we were actually on Angel, and so we went through that that transition as many folks did to Blackboard. So I've been a long time proponent of Blackboard, and in terms of full disclosure. We are on Blackboard here at University of the Sciences. I want folks to realize that. So before we get into some of the detail, you know, some of our listeners certainly are maybe using Blackboard or thinking about a learning management system, perhaps changing from what they currently have. Could you give us just a very brief, I guess, overview? Again, Blackboard has a lot of different products, so we want to concentrate on Blackboard Learn, the learning management system. Could you give a brief overview of what you mean by the different experiences and deployments?
We actually have two different experiences of Learn. So we have what we refer to as the original experience of Learn. So this is the one that I would say most folks are used to in using today or in previous roles that they've had at institutions. But also we're introducing a new user experience, which we refer to as Blackboard Learn Ultra. So this is a more modern, efficient, and fully responsive experience that is just getting started to be adopted by the Blackboard Learn community, and a number of institutions are also going through a process of piloting it right now. So it's kind of our next generation experience, and clients have the option to adopt that if they like. So we're really excited about that as well, in addition to continuing to sustain and support the original experience of Learn in the process.
Certainly we're on original experience right now, but we, again, we're in the process of moving from managed hosting to the SaaS deployment. I wonder if you could outline that, how that works, and why there are three different ways to deploy Blackboard Learn.
For those who may be a little less familiar with the deployment options of Blackboard Learn, as you just mentioned, Rod, there are three of them. So there is a self-hosted or on-premise deployment method of Learn, as well as a managed-hosted deployment method. And then in addition to those two, our newer SaaS deployment method. And just a little bit of historical context, Blackboard Learn as a product has been around for just about 20 years. So originally it was offered and very commonly was hosted on-premise, so with a self-hosted solution. We introduced the managed-hosted solution over time. And really, the SaaS deployment method is just a continuation and an evolution of how we're providing a flexibility and choice for how institutions want to deploy their instance of Blackboard Learn. Some of the benefits of the SaaS deployment are including additional things like when taking updates or new versions of the software, having a zero downtime experience for that. So you actually don't see an interruption in that service. And also there are a number of improvements in terms of the way that Blackboard Learn responds to peak load periods. So for example, if you're scaling up maybe during midterms or final exams, you know, the system is more resilient to handle that sort of load. A number of other things as well, but that's just a very high-level overview of those three deployment methods.
Sure. You know, often I'm asked by folks, well, what version are we on? And I think Blackboard's taken a little bit of heat for the varying nomenclature for versions and so on. I have to go into the administrator's dashboard to see what version we're on. I was wondering if we're ever going to get to Blackboard 9.2. I mean, everybody's been, I guess, on 9.1 for a long time. Can you say anything about the nomenclature and you know, how that's going to change, if at all, going forward?
Yeah, sure. So, I think it's fair to say that with the different deployment methods that we have and the different kind of options that our clients have in terms of how they choose to adopt Blackboard Learn, that comes with it just some nomenclature and ways that we want to describe releases to be precise. But it is true that with our traditional methods or deployments, the self-hosted and managed-hosted deployments, but then also for the SaaS deployment method as well, we have what I would consider kind of the historical way of us describing our releases. And the way this works is pretty straightforward. It's actually, we do two major releases a year for Blackboard Learn. And those releases are the ones that contain, you know, new features and functionality, along with some quality improvements and some other things that we roll out. And that's been pretty steady state for a number of years. And the one thing that I'll add with the SaaS deployment method, in addition to having the choice of kind of taking one of those major releases about once every 6 months, there's actually a new option which we refer to as continuous delivery. And this means that if you choose, as a client using the SaaS deployment method, you can actually receive updates, updated software from us on a more frequent cadence, right? So this is actually about once a month would be the cadence for that particular method of receiving updates from us. So, you know, again, one of the things here is that we're providing choice because we know just from talking with a lot of our clients that different clients actually value the decisions around how they actually take change in terms of new versions. And that does come with it, you know, just some a little bit of a, you know, so that we need to describe those releases as clearly as we can. But we would expect that, you know, over the course of time, more and more clients are going to start using more of the same sorts of releases. So we think that that sort of thing is going to be reduced over time. But in the meantime, we're just going to try to be as clear as we can about it.
Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to having that deployment through SaaS because there'll be a lot less work on our end and scheduling updates, which is certainly an improvement. You know, a lot of folks, I'm sure it's no surprise, are looking at their LMS and, you know, as contracts run out, they want to look at the competition. So I thought it might be helpful for folks to realize how many clients now have already moved to SaaS as a breakdown. How many are in original as opposed to the Ultra experience?
We've actually had a lot of energy and excitement around the SaaS deployment method. We've got over 200 clients that have made the transition to using the SaaS deployment method of Learn. And that's just fantastic. So that's really grown quickly. And we've seen a lot of institutions, for some of the reasons that you alluded to at high level, really embrace that deployment method. And then of those about 200 clients that have made that transition, we have now dozens of schools that are using the Ultra experience of Learn. So that's kind of that new user experience that I was talking about. And then we also have dozens more who are going through the process of experimenting, whether that's informally or formally in a pilot. That's actually something that we recommend to schools that are considering this. Some schools actually just kind of want to jump right in to the Ultra experience, and that's fantastic, of course. But some schools want to kind of understand a little bit more about the experience and to go through it in a little bit more of a measured way, often in the form of a pilot, where they can actually kind of try it out, you know, do that with maybe a handful of faculty and courses that they want to go through that process. And that's, again, something that we encourage and something that is an ongoing sort of thing where we support clients that want to make that sort of move.
Sure, that makes sense. In fact, that's exactly what we'll be doing. We expect to be fully on SaaS by the spring term, and then I think we want to start piloting Ultra. We're letting the faculty make the decision. In fact, as a brief aside here, it was the faculty who decided to stay with Blackboard, which was fine with me. So they're going to also have to decide down the line, perhaps next fall, how we're going to roll out Ultra. I imagine it could be kind of disruptive for students that have been on, you know, original for 3 to 4 years, you know, we're a professional school. So some people here on campus for 6 years. So I think I'm correct in this. So we could decide to, for example, just roll out Ultra for incoming students in the fall. Is that a possibility?
Yeah. So this is, you know, really something that I think is a good idea to take a step back and maybe just, I can paint the bigger picture for how institutions can choose to roll out Ultra, because there has been a little bit of confusion about this, and I'll try to clarify it. One of the things that an institution can actually decide to do is to enable the Ultra experience for Learn, but you can actually keep around the course experience, the original course experience when you do that. So that gives you some modernization in terms of the overall navigation, some of the look and feel. But you can also maintain the workflow that many faculty and students are accustomed to with the original experience, but at that course level, right, where teaching and learning is happening within specific courses and sections and so forth. So some institutions, that's the way that they want to proceed, and we've actually seen a number of schools make that choice when they do roll out Learn Ultra. Some schools are at the kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. They're more excited about kind of just jumping right in and really feeling, you know, like, I want to get the full experience for Ultra, both at the navigational level, but also at that course level. We have a new course experience, the Ultra Course View, which, you know, provides a lot of benefits and improvements that we've been hearing from our clients over time. And some schools will just kind of, they want to go all in with that from day one. And then there's a middle ground where if you actually want to choose to roll it out a little bit more methodically, maybe you could do that by department, you could do it by school, or really based on whatever approach your institution would choose to take, you can kind of have it a little bit of both. Now, again, this is an institutional choice. And the reason we want to provide these different options is because we understand that different institutions have different perspectives about what their goals are, and also understanding their constituencies and how they want to manage change in that process. You know, really those options are meant to provide the most degree of freedom that institutions can take and make the decision that's best for them.
Right. Yeah, there's certainly a lot of choice. I think it's also what makes it a little bit confusing. I mean, I sometimes have to think twice about how to explain Ultra and how we could go to the Ultra experience but retain, you know, the original course and make that an option. One complication, at least in our own environment here, is that we have the community system, and we've been using Blackboard as our university portal. Now, I know not every university does that, and so I was a little concerned at first about how soon we could go to the Ultra experience, because, as I understand, we would lose the tabs across the top and the modules, which we use quite a bit, you know, to deliver role-based content to faculty and staff and students and different groups on campus. Can you tell me a little bit of how that would change under the Ultra experience?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that we do and continue to do with the Ultra experience is we look at the capabilities that are available with the original experience of Learn, and we take a moment to assess, you know, how do we want to actually implement and design those within the Ultra experience going forward. And the one that you mentioned in particular, you know, it gets called different things. Some will call it the community system. It gets called tabs and modules. There are different names that people use, but you've got the essence of it, which is it's this idea of a portal capability that's built right into the learning management system. It allows for a more targeted way to communicate and create tailored experiences for faculty and students and others at your institution that you want to communicate with. And so we absolutely are going to be bringing that capability forward into the Ultra experience. And in fact, the first incarnation of that is something that's going to be rolling out here real soon. So the way that we're approaching this is actually we want to make sure that when we're designing these things for the Ultra experience, we're doing it in a way that is consistent with some of the goals that we have for the Ultra experience of Learn. This includes things like being fully responsive. So whether you're using this on a laptop or a tablet or a smartphone, you're going to have a fantastic experience on all those different form factors. I'm also taking a look at modernizing and making as efficient as possible the way that you set up, administratively set these things up, so that you can actually do it in a more efficient manner. Every single time we roll one of these capabilities forward, we're asking ourselves those questions, and we're really thinking hard about how can we make this easier to use, how can we make it really, you know, maintain the power that it had before, and making sure it's consistent with the principles that we're really striving to achieve with the new experience of Learn.
If you can take a suggestion, one thing, sure, I would love to have is to be able to, say, create a community group based on role. Right now, we can create modules based on role, but that's something that I think would be extremely handy. Is it on your roadmap to do something like that?
Well, I suppose it depends on exactly what you mean by that. But one of the things that we do have currently within the Ultra experience are what are known as organizations. So that's a way that you can have groups of users that, not always for academic purposes. It could be for, clubs or other groups that you might have on campus, for example. And you can certainly, create those and enroll users in those on an as-needed basis. And then in addition to that, some of the things that you talked about, you can actually create specific spaces for, groups of users on an as-needed basis. And that, just talking with, it sounds like, you and other schools that we talk to find a great deal of value with that, with the original experience, and they can also get that with the Ultra experience as well.
Okay. I guess the thing that's missing is the ability to, we can certainly enroll, but it requires some work on the back end. It's just when we do our integration, but we have all these roles that come over with our students, faculty, and staff, first year students, second year students, whatever, but we can't automatically create an organization based on those roles.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, you know, in some sort of automated way, creating these groups. And then, yeah, that, I think that's a perfectly great suggestion. So, yeah, well, of course, consider that.
Great. Of course, I think a lot of my listeners are going to be very interested to hear about new features. And I understand that, you know, new features and improvements that, that are rolling out, they not necessarily going to come to both original and ultra at the same time. And I guess there's a strategy on how you roll out new features. And I know in this short time window, we can't go into detail, but can you highlight some of the important improvements and, you know, they're coming down the pipeline in your roadmap and how they're going to be rolling out with original and ultra?
Yeah, sure. Happy to. One of the things that has been a request that many institutions have made, for example, is to have attendance tracking built into the learning management system. And when we roll it out, it's actually going to be made available to both experiences of Learn. So if you're an institution and you happen to be using the original experience, you'll be able to take advantage of being able to track attendance, providing an optional grade for attendance as part of the gradebook, and even, you know, exporting that to, say, a system of record like a student information system. But then also, we're designing it to work at the same time with the Ultra experience. And this is important for a couple of reasons. The first is that when we're thinking about things to develop, we actually want to obviously benefit the largest number of our clients and users, right? So bringing benefit to the most folks that we can. But then also, in terms of having a more consistent and cohesive experience, as you know, our clients are considering the adoption of Learn Ultra, we want that process to be as seamless as possible. And so this would be a case where, you know, if you you're using the attendance tool when it becomes available in the original experience, you'd already be accustomed to that in the Ultra experience as well. So that's just one example. There are a number of other things that we're working on. Some prime examples that I would highlight for you would be things like really tightly integrated audio and video capture that will be available in a number of really important workflows, certainly grading, so instructors can provide rich feedback to learners as part of that grading process, but also for things like, say, providing audio and video as part of maybe a discussion experience where you just want to do a recording from a webcam to incorporate there, just as an example. We're also working hard on deepening integrations to cloud storage providers. So I'm thinking here particularly of, say, a OneDrive or a Box or Google as examples, where we actually want to create integration points to be able to browse to those materials that you might have on one of those cloud storage providers, and in various, you know, important workflows, incorporating those right into the flow. And then another one I would call out that I think is illustrative of some of the things that we're doing is a way to really, you know, drive things forward and to create really interesting areas of innovation is in the area of embedded analytics. So we're doing a lot of work to take the you know, the wealth of data and the, you know, the expertise of our data science team and finding ways to actually incorporate insight right into workflows where it's going to be able to benefit not only faculty members, but also students kind of at the time of need. So I'll give you an example. In the case of, say, discussion forums, you know, we know from doing a lot of research and looking at analytical data that there's a lot of time that instructors can spend on the grading of discussions and just the time spent really consuming what students are contributing to discussions. We're looking at ways to actually use data and insight to help faculty in the process of grading, including interesting things like providing some detail around sentence structure and complexity, critical thinking, so semantic analysis that's being done based on the work of our data science team that A, can provide insight to the faculty member when they're doing that assessment, but B, and optionally, to be able to actually recommend some scores that the faculty might even be able to use as part of a grading process. So those are, you know, some of the things. You know, there's more that's certainly going to be coming out, but something that we're really excited about and we think is going to be a great example of how we're going to, again, the use of data, bringing insight, and kind of working that into key workflows where it's going to matter the most.
Wow, that's a mouthful. I think let me just restate some of this because I think this is wonderful. Faculty are going to love attendance tracking. I know at least faculty here on our campus Any idea when that is coming out?
Yeah, so we're planning on making that available later this year. And so that's kind of the time frame for that one.
That's great. And also cloud storage integration you mentioned and integrating audio and video. Now, I know in the past faculty love to upload videos, but we would tell them, okay, you're not going to don't upload the video to Blackboard because, you know, they're going to have to download it. You know, put it on YouTube or we used to have another video platform here. So I think what you're saying now is that faculty will be able to upload video and audio and stream it directly through Blackboard.
Yeah, so it's an important point of clarification. And so in essence, that's right. So think of this as recording directly from your laptop or device to be able to just embed audio and video into workflows. And that audio and video content would actually be resident within Blackboard itself, right? So think of this as kind of, I think, quick and easy ways of incorporating audio and video, both for faculty and students. We expect this to work alongside video solutions from other third parties. Many institutions have relationships with third-party video streaming providers, for example. And we expect what we're rolling out to really complement that, to provide just an immediacy of use, but certainly it would continue to work well with other solutions that are out there.
And that's independent of the type of deployment you have, so that'll work with all the different hosted and SaaS deployments?
That's correct. And it goes back to one of those examples of where we're trying to do this sort of development and design work in a way that's going to benefit the greatest number of our clients.
Speaking of responsive design, and I know Ultra is designed to be responsive, and for our audience who may not fully understand that, it'll be much more readable and usable on different size screens, different devices. How does that impact dedicated mobile apps? And I believe you're sunsetting the original Blackboard Mobile Learn app, and it's being replaced by BB Student. So can you fill us in on how these dedicated apps are going to play with the responsive design?
Sure. So, I think the way you've described it is exactly right. So we take a strategy for Learn that really looks at both responsive design. So this would be the way that using a web browser, the experience will show to faculty and students, whether that's laptop, whether that's tablet, or even smartphone. If you're using a web browser, just making sure that we're really making the most optimized experience for those different form factors that we possibly can. But there are also some cases where there's really no replacing the benefits and advantages of using a native application. The approach that we're taking here is a persona-based approach. So in the case of what we have available now, we really have two native apps that have been designed specifically with the student and instructor in mind. Those are available through your usual app stores for your device of choice. And what this is really getting to is thinking about how we can take the most advantage of things like capabilities that become available for iOS or Android, things like push notifications, something that is an experience that you have while using a smartphone that we really want to take advantage of and optimize around. And in that case, we're actually creating these apps and prioritizing things in a way that are best suited to the device and to the operating system of those devices. That happens alongside this work of improving the responsiveness of, again, just the broader array of capabilities that are also present. Because as you know, and as listeners will know, Learn has a number of capabilities available to it. And we want to make sure we kind of have the best of both worlds. So we continue to think that that's the right balance and mix of an approach. And we continue to see a great deal of adoption of the native applications and a lot of encouraging feedback from those who are using our more responsive versions of Learn for web browsers as well. So I think so far, so good in terms of that approach.
Well, I want to be respectful of your time. Is there anything else you would like to leave us with in terms of maybe things that you're working on that you're allowed to talk about that are coming in the future that would make our jobs easier?
Sure. So I guess a couple of things that I would mention just in closing. I think one of the things that we're really focused on as not only a company, but also as a team, the Learn product management team and the broader team as well, is how can we bring the ideas of the community, so, you know, faculty, administrators, students, into the mix to inform our process around what we build, right? So how do we actually come up with the roadmap? And the thing that I'm probably most excited, there are a number of things that we're working on there, but the one I'm most excited about is our community site. So this is something that we've rolled out not too long ago, and we're just getting a lot of energy and interest in it. People are signing up on it, and we have lots of different ways that people can engage there. They can suggest ideas. The earlier idea that you had, the community site would be a great place to actually enter in that idea and get a discussion going with peers and other institutions. And then periodically what we'll do is we actually will have opportunities for the community to actually vote on ideas, so offer up their opinion about what is going to be beneficial to their school. And then we use that data as one of the elements of our research that really steer and guide us in terms of the roadmap that we ultimately put together. And we've got, you know, there are several examples of this where ideas that have been voted up, so to speak, are actually ones that we ended up delivering. And so this is a good example of where we have this mechanism to get this sort of feedback from our clients and our users. And we really want to use that as a way to fuel the engine of what we're developing. So, you know, creating a tighter connection between what we're doing from a design and development perspective and tying it to the needs of our users, which, you know, in large part is what my job is all about. So that's one that I would just highlight as something that we're, you know, particularly excited about.
Well, Jim, this has really been terrific. I think this gave a nice overview of what Blackboard is up to with their LMS. And I want to thank you again for taking the time to talk to us.
All right. Thanks very much, Rod.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the interview. I know it's chock full of some very interesting details about what's happening with Blackboard. So I hope you like it. And don't forget to check out my show notes for some more detail. So stay tuned for the full Celtic piece by Kevin McLeod. Thanks for listening. And until next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.